Well, going through those players, you know, it could even be someone having his debut year. But yeah, it's definitely a really opened situation. I don't know who's actually going to get it. I really don't know. So the eligibility is a player has to be under the age of 22 as of October and is a non-AFL listed player. AFL rookies who have not been upgraded during the season are also eligible to be awarded this medal. So it is fantastic. Aaron Davey won it in 2003. Davenport, Shane Valenti and Robin Nahas, Mr. Electric, they've all won those medals and they've all played in the AFL this year. So it is definitely a stepping stone, as John Hook said earlier in the program. It is 9:45 here on the Saturday morning VFL football show. Jim?
I was going to throw a name to you. The footy show reckon they discovered. I reckon the Williamstown Football Club might have discovered him first. Actually, he plays for the Western Jets one of those teams. And he plays in the TAC Cup Under 18 competition. His name's Magic Dawes.
Yeah,
we've actually seen him a few times this year. He's an absolute standout because of his size and the colour of his skin, which is an absolute beautiful chocolate brown. And he's from Sudan. And this guy has got to be one of the all-time greats of the game if he ever gets to promote himself into the AFL. He has got some of the most silky skills I've ever seen for a guy his age. I've seen some good. I saw David Wirrupundu play for the Western Jets Eastern Rangers, sorry. I think they were playing the Western Jets. And he looked absolutely brilliant.
But no one's dominated the TAC Cup competition like David Wirrupundu did.
That's right.
No one has.
I know.
What he did on that football field has left everybody in his dust.
I know. I saw him. And when you see these under 18 guys, you don't actually know them. And it takes a peep into the football record to find out who they are. And you just remember their names. And most of them get their names thrown in, you know, thrown into the ring grand final day because they're on TV. But the rest of the season, you know, they get lost in the 22 players in each side.
Well,
this Magic Dawes, very, very impressive in the couple of games we've seen him play.
I think he's worth more than rookie list spot as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But they showed the vision of him at, believe it or not, the game we was at Werribee.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's one to look out for in the future.
Well, I mean, these are just some of the players, just to back up our points from the start of the program. These are players that have debuted in season 2009, have actually been recruited through the VFL. Liam Picken, Robin Nahas, Shane Mumford, Aaron Joseph, Shane Valenti and Stephen Martin. So that's a good crop of junior talent coming through there. I think Picken, Nahas and Mumford, well, he's probably a little bit more exposed due to his big build and, he might get delisted down the track. But
wasn't he playing at Baxter?
No, he's playing down at Neil Madama or somewhere down Brad Sinclair way. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the team.
It's not that. I don't think it's Neil Madama, but he's down from that way, like where Jason Davenport's from.
Yeah.
And, so Shane Mumford, Aaron Joseph, Shane Valenti, Stephen Martin. There's been some...
Bunyip.
It might be Bunyip. But a lot of those good kids coming through. So definitely in season 2010, you expect to have a bit more of an impact of some of these kids going through. Out of the debutants, I think Peter Folkes and Ed Curnow have been the better performed players this year. Ed Curnow definitely might be a chance to win that competition. But it's all not the competition, but the medal awarded at the list of medal, which I'll be going to, and Jim won't be. So
We have been extremely lucky with some of the finishes this year. We've had some blowouts, not many.
Well, we had two last week.
Absolutely sensational finishes to games, and whoever picks those games, and I'd like to say you and I have a big say in which games we go to. We should be proud of ourselves.
I think it's been a pretty. There's been some games we've missed that have had pretty good finishes as well. There's been some good games at
not
Burbank
many,
Oval. What's been your highlight then? Before we get into the final round preview and what's going to happen if someone wins and if they lose. What has been your number one highlight this season?
Sam Iles.
Sam Iles' goal from about 50 metres out when the siren went as he's kicked it.
Yep. We mentioned the build-up to it this morning with, was it Gilligan picking up the ball on the half?
You don't have a copy of that final, that highlight on the computer?
We have it somewhere, I just don't know. I can't put it on me. No, because we had troubles with the audio, didn't we?
Well,
we've still got it in the production studio. Sam Iles, Gilligan picks up the ball on the half-forward flank. No one to deliver it to. Should have hung on to it. Spilled it to Robert Campbell on the half-back flank. He was actually centre-half-back, wasn't he, at the time?
Yeah.
Almost dead centre of the beyond the defensive 50. Delivers off to Adam Uze, and remind me of who else was involved in that passage of play?
Just Adam Uze.
Okay.
They had Curnow and also Isles running in partnership, okay, when he used, yep, Isles.
And Adam Uze delivers it to Sam Isles, and Sam Isles kicks it, and as the ball just comes off his foot, the siren blows. The ball goes through a pack of players in the goal square, misses everyone. Nobody gets a hand to it, and it goes through for a goal. And it was all mayhem for about 30 to 40 seconds while, umpires were consulted, goal umpires were consulted. All the stats people in the commentary box where we were jumping up and down and, excited and everything. And it was one of those moments in football that doesn't happen all the time.
We'll have to try and we've got a lot of the games on backlog, so I might have to get the fixture out over the weekend and try and bring some of those highlights, yep, back to life before, yep, we wrap up.
We've got every single game.
Season, yeah. Yep. So
I think every single game we've done this year, I've got an audio copy of it one way or another.
I still think the game last weekend between Casey and Williamstown, and I barrack for Melbourne, but that's got nothing to do with the alignment, because Casey hardly had any Melbourne representatives, yep, in it.
Well, that was an amazing finish in itself.
No, but considering where they were, yep, where they've come from. Oh, and
I was going to say, have you seen the Casey Scorpions team list for today?
No.
They've highlighted all the Melbourne players except for Michael Newton.
Okay.
So he's gone. No. I mean, he's gone anyway. He's been delisted.
Has he?
Yes.
Are you sure of that?
I'm sure of that.
I know we've ended a few careers here.
We've ended a few careers, but I heard on the grapevine.
You haven't just gone with a bomb, have you, and just said Michael Juice Newton won't be playing at Melbourne next year, Jim? No. There's some Melbourne supporters who just crashed their car.
Okay.
In disbelief. They cannot believe Newton doesn't have a spot next year.
Yeah, well, Mike,
apparently. What does a boy have to do?
Apparently.
Put his hand up and mark the ball a couple of times.
I don't know if that's official, but.
You've ended it, and we've ended Bowden's career. Who else has retired?
I saw Joel Bowden on Wednesday.
Did you?
He's looking fit and healthy.
Yeah, well,
he was happy with himself.
We ended his career this year. We told him back when he first played his game at Coburg he wouldn't return, and he didn't.
Saw Robbie Tarrant and Luke Delaney.
We may have seen the end of Richardson come out for that 30 seconds and did his hammy. We may have seen the last of...
Richo will be there.
Break down again.
Richmond delisted.
Buckley didn't want to retire when he did.
Yep. Nathan Brown played his last game last night.
Well, that's what a couple of...
That is shocking.
Is it definite?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Unfortunately,
He's 31, and he's been pretty injury-prone. What about Coughlin? He must be out the door.
Coughlin's out the door.
Hopefully.
He's only 27. Hopefully he'll get a game somewhere else.
But he's slow.
We'll take him at Richmond.
Yeah. Take him at Coburg.
We've got him at Richmond. Why would we have to take him at Richmond? We've got him.
Now,
and fairest, 2003. Finished 6 votes behind the triple Brownlow medalists, triple Dead Heat Brownlow medalists. He's finished 6 behind him on 16 votes. And he's had 2 knee reconstructions, many, many hamstrings. He's finally got himself fit enough to play.
In the last 20 years, you become good at Richmond, you get injury and your career ends up. Tony Free.
Yeah.
He was a good footballer. Yeah. His career was ended due to injury.
Exactly.
Matthew Knights, I think he had to retire early because of injury. Kane Johnson, got to Richmond. He was a good player at Adelaide, gets to Richmond, gets injured, ends his career. You guys just dig a grave out there at Punt Road for some of these superstars you've had go through that football club.
And we pass our champions on to other clubs and make bigger champions. We pass off our average players to other clubs and make champions out of them.
I don't know about VFL retirement, so I haven't been given much notice of that. But let's get into the round 20 preview, Jim, because we've been harping on about Richmond and Coburg for long enough. They're not even playing in the finals. Let's talk about some football clubs that are. And Skilled Stadium, it's about the 20-minute mark of the first quarter down there, the curtain raiser. The AFL game will start earlier down there between Geelong and Freo, I think it is, isn't it, Geelong-Freo? Geelong and St Kilda a cushion to ride into the finals, didn't they? They play Melbourne and Freo. Tough task. So Geelong versus Collingwood. These teams are currently sitting in 7th and 8th. Collingwood 7th, Geelong 8th.
And the winner will stay in 7th or go to 7th.
Yeah, Collingwood defeated Geelong by 25 points in the season opener. But that match was at Visy Park. So they've got to travel down to Skilled Stadium, where Geelong has won its past 6 games by an average winning margin of 41 points. The only difference to that team is no Podsy Adley. Who's your tip? and we'll probably get skip straight through that one because being the AFL alignment, there's not much VFL interest, is there, to the real VFL purists?
Not really, but they've played three times over the year, over the last two seasons. Geelong 1-2 in favour of Collingwood. That doesn't sound right, does it?
No.
Collingwood have won two and lost one, if you can say it like that. Average, I won't go into too many details, but yeah, a win of
people,
win by,
people just tune into the show for your stats.
Yeah, 56-point win to Geelong a couple of years ago, and a 1-point win last year around in round 2008, round 16, a 1-point win to Collingwood. They won that, and as you said, 25 points earlier this season. My tip is Collingwood. That's a bit of a worry.
Now, the ABC game will be our broadcast game this afternoon, so make sure you tune in from 12:45 p.m. That's right, 12:45, 15 minutes earlier than our usual first bound Saturday afternoon starting time at 1 o'clock, so make sure you tune in from 12:45. If you're in the car or in the garden, you can't see the telly, make sure you have it glued to 97.7 FM. When the fixture was made, you look down, you see Port Melbourne versus Williamstown, round 20. You'd hope these two teams are battling for top spot. Well, if everything falls their way, they are. If Williamstown win, they'll secure top spot if North Ballarat lose. Williamstown will finish second if it wins, and North Ballarat wins. Follow me here, people. Williamstown will finish third if they lose. Now looking at Port Melbourne. So that's the three options there for the Seagulls. For Port Melbourne, well, they'll finish first if they win by 10 goals, and the Roosters lose by 10 goals. Port Melbourne will finish second if it wins, and North Ballarat wins. And Port Melbourne will finish third if it loses. You followed me there?
No, you're not going to go into percentages?
No, 10 goals, 60 points.
Exactly, yeah. So virtually whoever wins and whoever loses, it's going to be a great finish to the season because teams want to finish in certain positions to get home ground advantages and stuff like that. Speaking of home ground advantage, Port Melbourne have definitely got that. How many games in a row have they won?
21 matches.
Yep, and they've won them a couple of those games recently.
At three-quarter time.
Playing ugly. They've not played well for three quarters and then turned it on for the final quarter. Maybe that's the secret. Just play well for one quarter and you win the game. Make sure that's the last quarter.
The last time these two sides played, Jim, before you get into your stats, Williamstown inflicted a 7-goal defeat on the Burra at Point Jellybrand back in round 17. That must give the Seagulls some confidence.
Yep. 15 times they've met. 7 wins for Port
Melbourne. Since 2003. They've probably
met 2003,
60
yes.
times.
Oh, they've probably met 160 yeah. times. 15 times they've met since the round 3, 2003. Port Melbourne have won 7 times, Williamstown have won 7 times, and there's been one draw, so absolute neck and neck as far as that's concerned. Williamstown have won 5 of the last 8 encounters, so they've balanced the ledger, where Port Melbourne have won, something like 6 of the first 8. It's kind of a replay of the preliminary final in 2003 and the preliminary final of 2008.
Yeah.
Because they've played...
Yeah, they've played, like I said, they've met in the finals the last few years.
Yep. Yeah, just twice. I'm going for Port at home. They've won 5 of the last 7. Williamstown have won 3 of the last 7 with 3 losses and 1 bye.
So
my tip is Port Melbourne at home because they've it's a fortress down there, up there, wherever.
Now, the other game for round 20 Saturday afternoon football action is up there at Eureka Stadium. You don't see us driving up there this weekend because this game really is going to be a one-sided affair, you imagine. North Ballarat versus Sandringham, the possibilities. North Ballarat will finish first if it wins. North Ballarat will finish first if it loses and Port Melbourne wins. North Ballarat will finish second if it loses and Williamstown wins. And North Ballarat will finish third if it loses by 10 goals and Port Melbourne win by 10. Just giving you the formulas there, Jim. I know you like your stats, and when these two teams play last, you can tell me that. North Ballarat quickly fly through this one, because Bryce is trying to push us out of the studio already.
I reckon we've got 12 minutes to go. North Ballarat, they've won their last 4 games, and three losses in a row they did it before their 4 wins. Sandringham have tapered off this for the final part of the season. They've lost their last 3. Now, head-to-heads, they've played 12 times. Since 2003, 6 each they've won, but North Ballarat have won the last 4 or 5 of the last 6. North Ballarat will win.
Okay, Sunday, Sweet FA VFL action. See 3 games, and feel a little bit duped.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we? We've been duped here by Box Hill Football Club and 3WBC. They've got Box Hill versus Casey.
Yep, which is probably the game of the round for Sunday.
Not to discredit Frankston versus Northern Bullants. It'll be the best game, the match of the round stuff down there at Frankston Park. But, we'd like to have called Box Hill versus Casey. Anyway, moving on from there, Jim, and looking at the form line here, it's a big game for Sunday afternoon football. Should get a pretty big crowd out there at Box Hill City Oval, considering the Hawks will be gone by 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's right, the Hawks are gone. No, buddy, they're gone.
Gone, G-A-W-N.
So they won't be back for the 15th time we've seen this year. The Hawks are gone, and the Bombers will play in the finals, and everyone will go down and support the Box Hill Hawks. Last time they played was in round 6. Box Hill won by 15 points against the Scorpions at home. Against the Scorpions at Casey Fields, I should say, Jim. Now, here we go. The merry-go-round continues. Follow me here.
Mm-hmm.
Box Hill Hawks will finish 4th if they win and the Northern Bullants lose. Simple. Box Hill Hawks will finish 4th if they win by 80 points and the Northern Bullants win by less than 10 points. Box Hill Hawks will finish 5th if they win by under 80 points and the Northern Bullants win. The Box Hill Hawks will finish 6th if they lose. The Casey Scorpions, on the other hand, will finish 4th if they win and the Northern Bullants lose. The Casey Scorpions will finish 5th in a home final if they win and the Northern Bullants win. The Casey Scorpions will finish 6th if they lose.
Okay. Current form. Here we go. Box Hill, they're coming off a bye. Now, doesn't say much, but coming off a bye for Box Hill is one of the things they've enjoyed over the last 6 years. They've played 6 home games after a bye, and they've won all 6. Okay. 144.73%, so they've won them comfortably. Now,
you were going to go through and give me a stat about this season, which you haven't done yet. We might have to do it next week. The team's form after the bye.
I've done it. That's
you got it here?
That's what I've got.
Because the Casey Scorpions broke your little stat sheet.
They had a home... Well, not really. Well, they've now balanced the ledger after the bye at home. They've played 6 times. They've won 3 and lost 3 with a percentage of 98.25. Now, that's balanced the ledger. There's only really a couple of teams that enjoy playing after the bye. Werribee have won all 5 at home. And Sandringham have only played 3 home games after a bye, and they've won all 3. Now, where Box Hill have won all 6 at home. They're away. Where is it? They're away form. They've lost all 5.
Okay, so they, 5 away games this year?
No, this is after a bye since 2003. After the bye, they've lost all 5 at away game venues.
Who's your tip?
Hold on, it's interesting. Sandringham have only played 3 times at home, and they've played 9 times away. But their away form at Sandringham isn't the greatest. Now, you asked me to do something, then...
I'm trying to get you to wrap up. We didn't get your tip for Box Hill. Box Hill versus
Box
Casey?
Hill should win. They've won 6 times at home after Dubai.
All right.
That form should continue. We're going to speak to Rono?
Yeah, well, we won't even worry about the last 2 games, Bullants versus Frankston and Port Bendigo, where we, if we get a chance, we will.
Yeah, nobody cares about the last 2 games. But we do care about Mr. Rono O'Connor.
Yeah, he's been one of the biggest supporters of our show during season 2009, and I wish we were talking about his side in the same light like we have been with some of the clubs that can be playing in finals action. Hasn't gone that way for the Coburg Tigers. You have the bye this weekend, so the season's finished a week early for you. But, Rhino, thank you for joining us here on the Saturday morning VFL show.
Yeah, boys, I wish you were waxing a bit about the Burgers come finals time, but it's been a pretty ordinary second half to the year, and in a lot of ways, if we had have snuck through in the last couple of weeks to make up the 8, I really think that we probably wouldn't have troubled the scorers that much. It is something that we've got to take stock of, and it's going to be a big off-season down here. In saying that, though, our reserve side has made it through to the finals.
That's right.
And, we've got a number of young fellas. I think we've got 33 in all that have qualified. So we're looking for some young kids to really put their hands up to, you know, cement a place on a VFL list for next season. And look, we'll be definitely out and about having a look at the best young talent that doesn't get drafted to the AFL next year as well.
Well, it's been, I guess I look back at Coburg's year and it's been an emotional one. And an emotional one is the fact that you've had just so much, not so much turmoil. I think the club has really shown its professionalism, the way it's handled some of the things that's been thrown in its path, change of coach, and I guess Richmond have done a bit of a clean out with some of those players coming to an end, and we saw some emotional scenes with Nathan Brown. Career over at the game at the in Western Australia last night, Rhino. It is a chance now, I think, to still finish with 7 wins and to finish, I guess, now 2 games out of the 8. It has still been a pretty good effort. Obviously, you'd like to play in finals, but there has been some positives come through the Coburg Football Club this year.
Yeah, look, there has, and I suppose some of the form of our VFL players has been fantastic. We're hoping that we can get one or two of them drafted or rookied. You know, Nick Little and Andrew Horn have been outstanding. Glenn Carrick has also been very good. Nick Carnell, as a young captain, the youngest captain in the VFL, has just absolutely been an outstanding leader. So you look at all of that, coupled, I suppose, with Jared Sylvester also going up and making his AFL debut. I think those things are things we can be proud of. In saying that, being you know, third on the ladder and now slipping to 2 games out of the finals, it's frustrating because I know you know, you talked about Box Hill, you talk about Williamstown. We lost to Williamstown down there by a kick after the siren, and by all rights, we probably should have won that one. And we also lost to Box Hill here. By a kick after the siren as well, and so we show on our day when we really wanted to come out and play. We were good enough. So you've sort of got to ask the question, you know, why we couldn't get the job done. Winning games is a funny thing sometimes when you run out with names on a paper side. It looks good, it looks fantastic, but you've got to put it into play, and that's what we weren't able to do in the second half of the year, so that's what we've got to address.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I guess you mentioned the 2 games that you lost after a kick. I mean, the dramatic circumstances between Box Hill and the ball just bouncing through the goal line. It was just
I've never seen that.
No.
I've seen it like a kick through on the full, but I've never seen it bounce over the line after the siren. But look, that's footy too, guys. And that's what you're saying. It is emotional, and you know, there has been lots of emotions. You know, Joel Bowden, Mark Coghlan, Nathan Brown last night. You know, we've had Graham Pollack.
I was going to mention Graham Pollack,
back,
yeah.
And look, he's played a huge amount of the year with us and has been absolutely outstanding with our boys. And you've just got to admire him as a young man in terms of how he's been able to overcome such huge hurdles. And, you know, the support of his family network and Elise and all of that. So, look, in terms of those type of things, I think the Richmond Football Club has to have a huge tick. And I suppose we're also giving ourselves a bit of a pat on the back in the role we played in getting him back as well. But look, at the end of the day, I suppose Richmond supporters and Coburg supporters are here for 4 points each week and to play finals, and we both didn't deliver that. So we you know, desperately need to get out there and address that. We're going through an assessment phase at this stage in regards to what will happen in terms of the Coburg coaching position and everything underneath. And, you know, hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have a really clear pathway forward.
How's the club harnessed this week? Did you guys get a Mad Monday a week early than everybody else, or do you get 2 Mad Mondays this year considering the bye this weekend?
Yeah, no, look, in a lot of ways we sat down, and our last game against the Northern Blanche down there was a debacle, and guys, we were highly embarrassed with our performance, and so we actually spoke quite harshly to the playing group. And
honestly?
In a lot of ways, they didn't deserve to wear the Coburg jumper out there on the day as a group, and I think in a lot of ways they did a lot of disservice to themselves and to the colours. And look, our club is built on pride and a lot of the history of the people who have come before us. And look, we've said that our reserves are still in the finals.
Yeah.
And in that, I think Nick Carnell, through his fantastic leadership, he's continued to train with the senior boys that don't have a long-term injury. And in terms of that, our boys train through. We hosted all the top age players from the Calder Cannons last night.
Oh, fantastic.
Down to the club, and we're obviously working on things with our aligned partner in the under-18s. And look, in all of those things, yeah, mad Mondays and those type of things, I think sometimes it's about celebrating football. You know, a couple of years ago when we'd won a reserves grand final and just missed out in the seniors, that's when you can go and have a celebration.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we've got too much to hang our hat on. this year. I have been proud of some of the boys' efforts, and to them individually, I'll take my hat off. But as a team, I'm not sure whether I can partake in that this season.
That's pretty strong words. And I mean, I guess from where you've come from as a football club as well, Ryan, you pride yourself on being one of those top four teams and a respected VFL team. You're not handling not being in the finals this year too well from a club point of view. You really want to get back there as fast as you can and then taste some of that September glory.
Well, guys, that's what it's all about. Yeah. If we're going to sit here and say, we'll tolerate good efforts and different things like that, everyone can try. It's not an easy game, and I suppose we have to be really mindful that at times we need to keep lifting the bar and probably brutally assess our performances. And this year, there's been some really good efforts, but it hasn't cut the mustard as a team, and it definitely hasn't cut the mustard as a club. So we are looking for bigger and better things, and we have set the bar high, but that's what we expect.
Coach, will Craig McRae be there in season 2010, or are you looking now to try and fill that spot? Will Jade Rawlings come back now that the Richmond job hasn't gone the way you wanted?
Yeah, look, guys, it's obviously an interesting one, isn't it? It's a couple of really good names there. Look, Craig has actually indicated to us that he won't be seeking to throw his hat in the ring.
Okay.
He's actually contracted for another year as a development coach down at Richmond. So in that, we're actually going through a process where...
Did you know that before that before Craig took over as coach during the season? Or would that change your decision on who the Coburg Football Club took as their coach?
A caretaker role? Not. No, look, in terms of the caretaker role that Craig performed, he was an absolutely outstanding candidate for that role.
Yeah.
In terms of Craig's performance, he did absolutely everything within his power to get a group that was quite dysfunctional at stages out there on the park, and to handle all those hurdles. And I think at times it's an interesting job at VFL level, especially if you are conducting another role at your AFL partner.
Yep.
And the workload of Craig in the second half of the year was absolutely enormous. I know he made some sacrifices in regards to his family time with his young daughter Chelsea, and we really thank Craig for his input. He's a fantastic individual, and he obviously comes from an amazing football pedigree in regards to his time at Brisbane and his own individual career. So in that, I know the boys really appreciated his input and really believed that they got a lot out of it, even though I suppose the performances weren't there or the results. Where we're at is we're basically sitting down now, and we had a board meeting on Tuesday night. We're actually going to sit down with Damien Hardwick and Craig Cameron next week and discuss how they believe their ideal setup would be, and then assess whether that actually sits with our plans and how we want to go about it. We'll then be putting a process in place where we'll probably advertise for the coaching position and move forward from there.
Ryan, thank you so much for giving up your time. You've spoken to us countless amount of times in season 2009. I wish we could call you next week, but we'll give you some time off to reflect on this season and build that football club even stronger in season 2009. Thanks again for your honesty, and it's great to be in contact about the Coburg Tigers. And we've enjoyed our time out there this year. We've been greeted with welcoming hands and plenty of support. So we thank you so much for that, and good luck in the pre-season, and look forward to season 2010.
Yeah, no, look, guys, no worries. It's a pleasure coming on. We're in a unique position, I suppose, with VFL football to promote what is a fantastic game. You guys do a really, really good job, and it's quite easy to come on and tell you where we're at and where we're trying to get to. So thanks very much for your part in all of that as well.
Fantastic, Ryan. Thank you so much for your support.
Cheers, guys.
Ryan O'Connor, the general manager there of the Coburg Football Club, joining us. We have gone past our normal finishing time of 10:15. Blame the Mornington Peninsula Football League show. They had their finals. We're in our final round, Jimbo. The final two games, Frankston versus the Bulllands. The Bulllands win. They finish in fourth. Frankston playing for some pride quickly.
Bulllands to win.
And can Bendigo notch up their first win of the season?
No. Werribee.
I've tipped them four or five times this year. I'm going to tip them again. I'm going to upset Werribee. Werribee have been the Port Adelaide of the VFL this year. They lose the games we're expected to win. This has been the Round 20 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show. Big thanks to John Hook and also Ryan O'Connor joining us on the program this morning. Jim Hines, Bryce Eichold, thanks for your support. See you at the football for the big game this afternoon, live from 12:45. Port Melbourne versus Williamstown, and also the big game tomorrow afternoon from Frankston Park. Frankston versus the Northern Bull Ants. This is KC Radio 97.7 FM, your true home of the VFL. Oh,
he roosted that one. That's bounced about three times.
Folks has kicked his first, maybe the most telling goal of the game, and the Scorpions lead by five. We've gone 31 minutes in the final term. Gone, yeah, Nick. And on the siren.